As the Lord shall be pleased to help me, I shall call your attention to a subject you will find in the second epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 4, and the 7th verse. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Chapter 4, Second Epistle to the Corinthians, and the 7th verse. It might be well to approach the subject by asking the question, do you and I possess this treasure which the Apostle Paul is referring to? For this treasure is that which the Lord Jesus sets forth in that lovely Holy of Holies chapter in John's Gospel, chapter 17. This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. In the immediate context, emphasizes it, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Oh, dear friends, as you journey on through life, and time shortens with you, and eternity nears, you realize what the psalmist said, a little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. And the chief thing that you and I should be living for is to have some sweet, blessed assurance that we have this treasure, and that the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Assure my conscience of her part in the Redeemer's blood, and bear the witness with my heart that I am born of God. And now I want, as the Lord, to help me to look at this subject from three or four viewpoints of it. I know that we are going down to the well with a bucket which we have used before, but we do hope, as grace is given, we shall yet be favored to draw water, fresh water, and that with joy, from the wells of salvation. The setting of the subject is very solemn. The Apostle Paul was writing to the church at Corinth and setting forth what really is the work of the ministry. I'll not take up time in going into details, for you are all aware of it, or should be, as to the things that had happened in the church at Corinth. The church at Corinth was a unique church, and it was a church that the Apostle Paul, by the grace of God, when he was found at Corinth, had been so favored in his labors there that the church was built up under his ministry and founded too. You will remember God said to him when he was at Corinth, and he was pondering in his heart what was the will of God, I have much people in this city. And so the Apostle Paul realized it was the will of God he should preach the gospel there. And it might be well to ponder this in your heart. Those people were not then called by grace. They were just living as worldlings do. And that could happen in any city beneath the sun, that God could say to one of his servants as he was found there, I have much people in this city. And yet they are not made manifest yet as being the people of God. But through the proclamation of the gospel, they will be, as God ordains his servants to labor in word and doctrine there. And when the Apostle Paul left Corinth after he had labored there with so much success, he went on his missionary journeys elsewhere. And then trouble rose in the church at Corinth, because Corinth was like our Oxford or Cambridge and notable for the wisdom of this world. And the great majority of those in the church at Corinth possessed much of the wisdom of this world and were well educated, intellectual. And so the devil took advantage of it. And he gained an advantage too. So that a party spirit rose up in the church at Corinth, of all things inimical to the prosperity of a church, a cause of truth. It is when a party spirit develops therein. The Lord grant it may never develop under Union Chapel roof. But it did at Corinth, and so one said, I'm for Paul. He's the minister for me. I like him. I like his line of things. Another said, I'm for Apollos. You can imagine who they were. Apollos was eloquent and mighty in the scriptures, and that appealed to those who were educated and who liked things to be put forth with good grammar, as well as the grace of God. Others there were who said, I am for Cephas, which was Peter. And now this wrought mischief. And when the Apostle Paul was made aware of it, God inspired him to pen an epistle, and he brought the people there, the members of the church at Corinth, down to bedrock, and he said, who is Paul? Who is Apollos? Who is Peter? They are ministers of God, of a truth. But what can they do unless God is with them in what they do? Neither he that planteth, neither he that watereth is anything, but it is God who gives the increase. And now that will link up to the opening word in our chapter here. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness. How solemn this is. Nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And here is a word which to me has long been and still is a terrifying word. But if our gospel be hid, margin veiled, it is hid to them that are lost. Oh, you little know, you cannot know unless you're in a pulpit to preach. And you would know it deeper down if you were a pastor. What a heartbreaking business it is to feel that you might preach. You're in, you're out. Labor in word and doctrine with your heart warm, with loving desires for the eternal welfare of all who listen to the gospel that you preach, and yet to some it will be hid. And it is said, hid to them that are lost. Oh, it almost breaks your heart to think of the possibility of it. And how does this come about? In whom the God, little g God, of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. It is hid. Is it hidden to you, dear friends? I hope to many of you it has been revealed, made manifest, and you are not strangers to what the Apostle Paul penned to the church at Thessalonica. Knowing, brethren beloved, your election of God, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power. And this might help you, for I do want to help you. I shall not be here much longer to do it. But while I can be with you, I want, as God shall help me, to help you. And now, did you come up this Sabbath morn to hear the gospel for yourself? Let your conscience tell you how you came, what you came for, and I believe with many of you, you had this feeling, I would hear what God the Lord will speak, and you desired something like the hymn writer, blessed Spirit of Christ, descend on us thus, thy servant assist, teach him to teach us. Aye, the Lord bless you if you came like that. You are blessed indeed, inasmuch as you came like that. And what did Jesus Christ say? Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are your ears, for they hear. But oh, if the gospel is hid, then it means that those who listen to it have no concern whatever to realize the blessing that the gospel of the grace of God is made to sinners born again. They have no ear to hear it. The only word that suits them is the amen that concludes the sermon. Alas, that it should be so. And now, dear young friends, remember, this is nothing to do with God. If you are in such a position that you do not want to hear the gospel and get good for your souls, it is nothing whatever to do with God with whom you have to do. It is the little g God of this world that causes you to be as you are and feel as you do. And it cannot be laid at the door of God. For in the gospel of his grace, how kind, how faithful, how tenderly does God speak in his gospel. And what does he say? And he will never unsay it. Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise. You know the meaning, I've told you many times. I will never, no, never, no, never cast out. That is how God is toward you whenever his gospel is preached. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches, so that if the gospel should be hid, and you do not want it revealed to your soul's eternal peace and profit, I repeat, you cannot lay it at God's door. It is just how you wish things to be deep down in your heart. We will not have this man to reign over us. And now let us start afresh. but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. There's one viewpoint of this subject I would like to emphasize ere I come to open it up as my mind runs. I have just hinted at the mischief that arose in the church at Corinth through one minister being set up against another, and a party spirit prevailing. And now the Apostle Paul makes it plain in this subject that if a man is ordained of God to preach, it must ever be remembered that while he is a minister of Jesus Christ, he is a man. Elias was a man of like passions as we are. And I want you, dear young people, for it affects you nowadays in our denominational life, and it may do much more as time unfolds. I want you to remember that if you should see anything that is amiss in a minister, or hear of it, or know something which seems to his detriment, that is to do with him as what he is, as an earthen vessel, and that he is a man of light passions, and that he is a sinner. And there is what he is by nature, made manifest therein. It is nothing whatever to do with this treasure which is lodged in the earthen vessel. Remember that. It will help you sometimes to make a right judgment about matters that may otherwise much perplex you. This treasure is the grace of God. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. And now the Apostle Paul relates it to the ministry, but it can be much enlarged, which means that whenever you see anything which you know in your conscience according to the word of God ought not to be in anyone who makes a profession of the name of Jesus, it just manifests them to be earthen vessels. It is not to do with this treasure, which enables one to say at times, by the grace of God, I am what I am. You can search the scriptures for illustrations, and you will find that when you read of the godly, there are things recorded of which James the Apostle would say, my brethren, these things ought not so to be. It is to do with what they are by nature. It is because they are earthen vessels. It is because they are poor sinners. When this treasure is in evidence, when it triumphs, as it inevitably will do, then you will see what they are by the grace of God, and admire it, like Barnabas, who when he came to Antioch and saw the grace of God, he was glad. And you can see the grace of God. And I might just make a further comment. It would be very helpful, I'm not fitting any caps on, I say it would be very helpful if our eyes were more often opened to see the grace of God in those amongst whom we live and move, than to be otherwise engaged in discerning how evident it is their earthen vessels when there are things which we know are contrary to what the Word of God lays down as a pattern for the life of the righteous. Dear friends, do suffer this word of exhortation. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. If people get good for their souls through the preaching of the gospel, everyone who is so favored must say, all the glory, Lord, is thine. For when all is said and done, those of us who we hope God has ordained to preach are likened in the book of Zechariah to pipes through which the golden oil flows. Yes, pipes. The oil is that which a man cannot receive except it be given him from heaven. Do remember that. And do remember this. Brethren, pray for us. And the Apostle Paul said, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. And now let us look at this treasure. And I will draw a contrast, as the Lord shall help me. I read to you from Matthew's Gospel, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You see, the majority of mankind work night and day almost to heap up earthly treasure. And sometimes men accumulate great wealth. And then later on, you see in the daily paper that they have gone the way of all the earth. And what their will is. And the late Mr. So-and-so left so much, but he left it. We brought nothing into this world, and certain it is we can carry nothing out. And here, the Saviour uses illustrations, and he speaks about the moth and the rust and thieves. And now all earthly treasure is affected like that in a spiritual interpretation of it. The moth represents time. A moth works very quietly. The housewife goes to the cupboard where she has not been, it may be, for a while, takes out a garment and realizes the moth has been at work. There has been no noise made about it, no indication of it, but the garment is ruined. And now, however much you may be concerned about heaping up earthly treasure, the pendulum goes on swinging in the clock. Moments by moments become minutes. Minutes become hours. And hours become days. And so it goes on. And you are hastening on to when you will step out of time into an eternal state. All earthly treasure is affected by the moth. Do remember that. And it speaks about rust. And you cannot have earthly treasure without you have the rust attending it. And that is anxiety of mind concerning it. Especially anxiety to make it more than you already possess. And your thoughts run here and there. as to whether you will be able to keep this treasure or whether it will diminish and you be brought low and come down into poverty's veil. Oh, there is much anxiety in the minds of those who have much earthly treasure. Then there is the thief. Alas, the Saviour said, where thieves break through and steal. And now, here is the thief. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Here is the thief, death. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. All earthly treasure is affected by the danger of the thief coming, and you know not when he will come. So that this treasure in our text is that which time cannot endanger, for it is enduring in its nature for time and eternity too. And it is valuable beyond words to describe. As I have already quoted, a little that a righteous man hath, a little of this treasure, is better than the riches of many wicked. And now the great thing is this. The Apostle Paul said it, and out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth was speaking. But we have this treasure. Have you? Have I this treasure? Let your consciences tell you the truth about it, as they will do if they're in working order. You may say, I'm afraid to say much about it. I should like to possess this treasure. God is my witness. I have asked him if I might possess it many, many times, but as yet, I dare not say much as regards to the possession of it. Ere you have got that aching void, which this world cannot fill. You have got that concern, which does not arise from what you are by nature, that you may possess this treasure and have some religion that God is the author of, to live by and die by. And now the word of God says, the dead know not anything. It is the living who will lay these things to heart. And do you take courage, poor sinner, that you come in the category of the living, not the dead. You are no longer as you were born. Although you cannot say much, you are born again to feel as you do. Otherwise you could not feel it. Because the starting point is here. A new heart will I give you. A new spirit will I put within you. I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh. I will give you a heart of flesh. And now the Spirit of God has done that for you, so that you have got these longings and desires and concern welling up in your heart, heavenward, Godward. The soul that with sincere desires seeks after Jesus' love, that soul the Holy Ghost inspires with breathings from above. But let us look at this treasure. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. When you ponder it in your heart, did you ever do it? I say, when you ponder it in your heart, what an amazing thing it is that you see poor sinners, men and women, youths and maids, and it can be children, in early life's morning, in whom this treasure has been lodged by the God of all grace. Poor sinners, they are, with never-dying souls. And you and I are living in the midst of some of these poor sinners, in the possession of this treasure. And there is one thing whereby you may know you possess this treasure. You say, I should like to know that. Here it is. 'Tis grace which makes men feel their need and cry to God for more. However much you might possess of this treasure in your soul's experience, as you came along this Sabbath morning to worship God, you were asking him still for more. Lord, I want a token for good. I want some confirmation in my soul's experience. I belong to thee and thy people. Lord, I want most of all to see Jesus and see in him all my salvation and all my desire. And that is how this treasure ever works in poor sinners who possess it. You can never be content with that which you already possess, but you want to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This treasure, how wonderful it is that poor sinners like you and I should be put in possession of it, as we humbly hope God has so favored us for long, long years, some of us. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. And now you see, as I read to you the immediate context, what is the beginning of this treasure? For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. There the Apostle Paul goes right back to when in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And what did God say? Let there be light. And there was light. And so this treasure comes into poor sinners' hearts. The entrance of thy word giveth light. And as I have used the illustration many times among you, when that happens, then that sinner is lighted up inside. And that light is from heaven. And it makes manifest to that sinner how sad our state by nature is. Which shall know every man the plague of his own heart. Oh, it brings with it a solemn awareness of our undone state in the Adam fall, our utter helplessness in things divine. It brings a solemn sense of our hell deserving. Yes. And it brings this knowledge also If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? If my soul is sent to hell, thy righteous law approves it well. When he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he shall convince the world of sin. And here it is, as it comes into a sinner's heart, it is the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And this light will show how short you have come and I have come regarding it. This treasure, I can only give you hints. Then this treasure will be that it can be said of you. Oh, but can it be said? Behold, he prayeth. Do you? You may not care to say much about it. And you may have many searchings of heart. But still you do try to pray. And I must say this on God's behalf. Keep trying to pray. Pray if thou canst or canst not speak, but pray with faith on Jesus' name. For there is this treasure. I will pour out upon the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem the Spirit of grace and of supplication. I wonder if you could, do listen, I wonder if you could go back to where you first tried to pray. You should be able to do that. I mean as regards this treasure. The Word of God says, then began men to call on the name of the Lord. When did you begin to do it? Is it the truth you have not yet engaged in such a solemn, profitable, God-honoring business as trying to pray? What? All the mercies you possess, beyond what tongue can tell and mind can see, and that this word is true concerning you, in him we live and move and have our being, and you have never said thank you to God for it, and never tried to pray? Alas, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Oh, that you might be found. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. And there comes this spirit of prayer and the grace of supplication, as I said. It wells up within, not always in words well put together. You might be sometimes concerned, especially you dear men that try to pray in public, that you cannot put a prayer together in words as you would like to. What God regards is not so much the words well put together, but this is essential. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth shall speak. Yes. The Lord requireth truth in the inward parts. And you remember that dear woman in the gospel, falling down at Jesus' feet, she told him all the truth. Go and do likewise, and you will be made aware that you have the mercy to possess this treasure, although you know how very much you are like an earthen vessel in the possession of it. You will have this feeling within, I would do good, but evil is present with me. Then this treasure will be also godly fear. How often that comes into our sermons, and it must needs do. An unctuous light to what is right, a bar to what is wrong. A principle within you that tells you how you should live. and with that principle a concern that you should live like it, according to the pattern set forth in the Word of God. I like that word in Ezekiel, and it says, let them measure the pattern. And you and I, in all that we are, journeying on through life, in all that we profess to be, we should measure the pattern of what we ought to be, according to what we profess to be. Godly fear will help you. It will enable you to do that which is right before God with whom you have to do, irrespective of what man may think about it. Man will be able to look on and see that you have been with Jesus. But I must hasten on. In this treasure, there will be living faith. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. He that cometh to God must believe that he is. Dost thou believe on the Son of God? When you try to pray as you do, have you not deep down in your heart a solemn awareness of him with whom you have to do? Have you never felt like Abraham? Behold, I have taken upon myself to speak unto the Lord, who am but dust and ashes. Yet this privilege is granted you, and you have living faith in exercising it. We believe and are sure thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Lord, to whom can we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Yes, and there is the treasure of hope. Good hope through grace. What a mercy it is to possess such a hope. Not to be left to be, as Paul said to the godly Ephesians, without God and without hope. What a terrible state to be in. Without God and without hope. Oh, but these people I'm telling you about who possess this treasure, though they are earthen vessels of a truth, they are not hopeless and they are not helpless, because they have to do with God. Yes. All through the wilderness below, good hope expects more good to know, and thus is kept alive the soul. What shall we say too about this treasure of love? It would be good if you and I could see more evidence of it in people with names on church rolls and others whom we believe are following on to know the Lord. How glad we should be to see brotherly love continuing and brethren dwelling together in unity. But if you and I are taught of God, we shall have this treasure of love. And I do like one word in John's epistle. He that loveth is born of God. Which is to say, he that loves the gospel that he listens to, he that loves the house of prayer as he goes up with willing feet to worship therein, he that looks on people whom he knows are taught of God and says, with them numbered I would be now and in eternity. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. And he that desires to love God, and sometimes says, very sadly, God only knows the love of God. Oh, that it now was shed abroad in my poor stony heart. Oh, this treasure of love. Oh, that it might fill our earthen vessels to overflowing, so that we might be helped to live in the spirit of the gospel. And I thought of these words in thinking about coming before you to preach, and how much grace one needs to be able to behave like it. Speaking the truth in love. Yes. Oh, what a mercy to have this treasure. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. Then there is another viewpoint of this treasure, and that is to have sanctification. You see, if you have this treasure, you will have to go in the way that God has ordained. We know that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. And now when that tribulation comes, it will be well for you not to manifest too much, and not at all, that you are indeed an earthen vessel, and resent the dealings of God, and kick against the pricks of his dealings, and say with Jacob long ago, all these things are against me. No, no. Let it be your concern that this treasure shall be uppermost in your heart and in your behavior, and that whatever the trouble is, that God will be in it and overrule it, as he can do, for your soul's profit and peace. Yes. I like that prayer of David's. Let my soul live, and it shall praise thee, and let thy judgments help me. Judgments there means chastening. Lord, this trouble has come into my life. I never dreamed it would ever come like it has, and the nature of it. But, Lord, it has come. Help me to say, thy will be done. Help me to feel, it is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good. And grant this trouble may be for my soul's eternal welfare. And that I may say, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. I have told you, sanctified trouble is one of the surest evidences that you are being taught of God and made one of that people of whom Zechariah says, a people made ready for the Lord. One other thought about this treasure, and that is gratitude. Oh, to have a thankful heart, a broken heart, a contrite spirit, to be able to humble yourself before God and say, as the psalmist did, what an amazing word it is. You think about it. Blessed be God, who daily loadeth us with benefits. Then you should be concerned that this treasure should be manifest, and you should say thank you to God, and seek to translate thanksgiving into thanks living. But I must come to the amen. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Earthen vessels, you see. It is as though the Spirit of God, I say that with great reverence, would remind us of our origin. What will be said over you when all that is mortal of you is laid in the grave? I hope well laid therein. The preacher will say, earth to earth, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. Earthen vessels, yes. It is to remind us, I say, of our origin. Dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. It is to also teach us, and we should ever be mindful of it, how frail we are. An earthen vessel is very frail. Only needs a slip, you have a broken limb. Only needs a germ, and you're at death's door. Yes, frail. So easily injured, and the earthen vessel is marred. There is another thought too when the Apostle Paul, inspired by God, uses this illustration, earthen vessels, do you put earthen vessels on the mantelpiece for ornaments? No. No. You may put ornaments there, but not earthen vessels. You see, earthen vessels are for usefulness. But this is the point. Earthen vessels are regarded as mean, contemptible. And the Apostle Paul uses an amazing illustration in one epistle where he says, and he knew the truth of it, we are treated as the offscouring of the earth, like the soot on the housewife's cooking vessel. Yes. Scum. Oh, you may be made aware as you go about in the world that that is what the world thinks of you. Well, if the world in any way whatever does evidence that is what it does think of you, do you say thank you to God for it? If on my face for thy dear name shame and reproaches be, all hell reproach and welcome shame, if thou remember me. There is just this thought as you read in the Hebrews. There, I'm pretty sure, all of you taught of God will say, I come in there. Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Margin, read in. Run out as leaky vessels. Oh, you say, that is just what I am. Oh, the Lord help you to be concerned about it and remember the fact that you are a leaky earthen vessel is to demonstrate that you are indeed an earthen vessel. The fact that you lose the comfort and happiness and peace of mind you may have from time to time in the possession of this treasure is to do with you being an earthen vessel. But we have this earth, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God. You see, this treasure, every bit of it, every grain of gold that it is of God. It is that which a man cannot receive except it be given him from heaven. It is just to teach us the foundation truth of our most holy faith. For by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Amen.